Okay, let's begin. Peah Daf Lamed. Peah Daf Lamed. And we are on the bottom of Chavtas Mebeis. And again, this year we're sponsored anonymously in honor of their parents and with immense gratitude to the OU for their work in all aspects of Jewish life. So we just had a case on Chavtas Mebeis of a field that was jointly owned, and then it was split, and then maybe it was harvested before it was split. So we start off the Daf today with a similar type of case of harvesting part of the field, and then another event happens, which affects the chiyuv of peah. So that's Rabbi Yochanan, basically one statement until the one statement of Rabbi Yochanan and one statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, second to last line on Chavtas Mebeis. Katzar chatzi sada. Somebody has a half a field, has a whole field, then he harvests half his field, and he has in mind that he's going to leave peah, obviously, from the other half. He harvested half his field. But what happened? He takes a break. This is the way the Ma'ar Afulda and the other Mefarshim. He takes a break after. Usually when you harvest your field, you don't stop in the middle and take a big break. Maybe you'll stop for lunch, but not more than that. So the fact that he took a longer break than usual reflects the fact that maybe he's done. He's done harvesting, and therefore the rest of his field is meant to be peah. That's how we understand his actions. Remember we spoke about that way back on Daf Aleph. How much payoff one is allowed to leave? You could leave half your field. You could leave almost all your field, right? It has to start, right? You have to have the first katsira in order to get the chiyuv kicked in. But says Rabbi Yochanan, so you harvested half your field, then you took a break. So therefore, the other half is all payoff. But then guess what? You started cutting the other half of the field. The second that you start cutting the other half of the field, so that ruins the payoff. Remember we said right when you start cutting, that ruins the peah, and therefore now the chiyuv of peah goes back to even what was cut already, right? Because you've cut the peah, and now, as the language we had earlier, chazra peah la'umrin, goes back to what was cut already, right when you start cutting. But when you started cutting the second half of your field, you only had in mind to cut a quarter of the field, meaning half of what was left. But then you continue the whole way. This is the case. So there are three parts to the field, if we think about it. Again, you cut half the field, and then you take a break, so the other half is going to be peah. And then you say, no, I'm going to cut more, I'm going to cut another quarter of the field. And then after you got a quarter of the field, you went straight and you cut the whole field. So there's the first half of the field, the next quarter, and then the next quarter. Now your whole field is cut. So what do you do about peah? That's the question now. Which of these portions of the field, so to speak, could overlap, and you could give peah from one to the other? That's the question that we're going to talk about now. And as we'll see, as the Gemara is going to say, first and third section, meaning when I say the first, it means the first half. The second means the middle. That means the next quarter that you had in mind to cut. When you started cutting the second half, and you had in mind to only cut the next quarter, so only that quarter is going to be connected to the first part. And then after that, you cut the final section. So it says the Gemara, katzar chatzi chatzia, v'katzar chatzi chatzia, chatzi sada. First you cut half the field, and then you cut half of the half, meaning a quarter. That was your kavana. V'lo hispik l'ksar as hashar, et shekatzar kula. But then you ended up cutting the whole thing. So what's the halacha? So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yochanan, mafrish min arishon al ha'emsoin, u'min ha'emsoin al arishon. The first and second part, and the second and third part, they overlap in terms of chiyuv. Why? Because right when I start cutting the second part, at that second, I've ruined my peah for the first part, and therefore, everything at this moment is connected. The final quarter is not connected, because I have I don't have in mind to cut that final quarter. So the only section that's potential peah, and peah related to the first half, is this second cut, is this next quarter, what we call the emsai. So those two are connected. The first and the second and the first are connected. But the eno mafrish min arishon al, we're going to change that girsa, al ha'acharon, right? That's the Ma'ar Afulda's girsa. Well, you can't give peah from the rishon of the acharon or the acharon of the rishon, because there's no overlap in terms of the world of peah. And again, let's see the Ma'ar Afulda back on Amud Beis now. Chavtas Amud Beis by Katzar Chatzi Sada. Let's see that, Dibur Maschel. V'hifsik. Right, I cut half my field, and then I stopped as if to wait. V'kivan shehifsik na'asek ka'omer. Once I stopped in the middle, it's as if I'm saying, Mikan ve'elach ani mafrish peah. The rest of my field is peah. V'havile kemo kila sadeyu. And when I start cutting the second half of the field, it's as if I'm ruining my peah. When I start cutting what we call the middle, the chazra peya lo umrin, and now the chiv peya goes back to the beginning, kidamrin and perak sheni, like we learned earlier, v'yachol hafresh b'nei rishon alam soy. So the first and the second part, they're all connected. Because right when I start again, when I start cutting the emsoyi section, and I only have in mind to cut a quarter, that all is potentially in the world of peya, for the section that was cut already. Because now there's the all the chochi of a piyah got intermixed. The second that I start cutting the final quarter, that's something new. It's connected to the middle because it was all one harvest. I'm harvesting it all together. So the first and the middle and the second, those are all connected. The first and the third are not connected in the world of peyah, and therefore you have to give separate peyahs for the first part, for the first and the third. Again, the middle part could go with either. And let's just read the Yimara pulled up. V'kima shalohaya b'daito liksar rakhasi chetzia. Again, explaining what we just said. Since you only had in mind to cut the next quarter, chatzi chetzia ha'acharon, lo nechshav imachatzi ha'rishon. The final quarter, what we are calling the achron, is not connected at all with the first half of the field. Lomar, to say that is all connected in peah. No! Because right when I started ruining my peah, let's say I started cutting the middle, I didn't have in mind to cut that final quarter. That was totally out of my mind. That was going to be a normal, regular peah field. And therefore that's connected. Not connected to the first half of the field. But once I kept going from the second to the third part, so that's one big harvest. Obviously those two are connected. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan tells us in terms of these three sections of the field. What does it have to do with us? Because similar to what we had on yesterday's daf, when you had a field that was b'shutfis, and you cut half of it, and then you sold it, and then something happened after you cut half of it. One final section, similar, Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Says Rabbi Shua ben Levi now on the fourth line. Hai salo sada achas. I have a field. Chetzia hevi yishlish, v'chetzia lo hevi yishlish. Half of my field is now ripe. Ripened and sprouted, and now there's a chiv peah. Once I start harvesting. And the other half is not ripe yet. Another half. So I have half the field ripe, half the field not ripe. So I start cutting the ripe half. V'lo hispik liksar chatzi chatzia. And I almost got to the quarter. I got to the first quarter of my field. And just as I got to the quarter of my field, now the other half becomes ripe. I don't know exactly how that, you know, that moment in time, but that's what happened. So when I cut the first quarter of my field, the other half of my field was not ripe yet. So it was not in the world of peah. So as we're going to see, the first quarter and the second half have nothing to do with each other. Because when I cut the first half of, when I cut the first quarter of my field, the other half was not ripe. So first and second half are going to be totally separate. But then I kept cutting this second quarter of my field at the time when the other half was already ripe. So that's going to overlap. Then now it all is a third ripe, which is the chiyuv of onas ha-maisris, and now it's called edible. So what am I allowed to do? Same thing that we just said. I'm allowed to take from first and second part. What's the first and second part here? The first quarter, the second quarter, and the final half. Right, that's our case. The previous case we had, half, quarter, quarter. Now we're having quarter, quarter, half. But it's again, also, it's all about, here it's not just about the mindset. It's about the other, the final half wasn't in the world of peah yet. Mafresh ben arishon al hamsoim ben hamsoim al arishon. Ve'eino mafresh ben arishon al ha. Again, change it to al ha'achron. Right? You can't take from the first quarter for the second half because that is not connected at all to each other. So these are all cases. There are three cases. One we did yesterday and the other two we just did now where fields are separated because of either mindset, right? Or in terms of level of growth. Level of growth. If half the field is loy vishlish and half the field is vishlish, then you're going to have to give, even if it's the same grain. Right, and this is not taught for some reason it didn't grow together. It's not talking about something that inherently doesn't grow together. Remember, that wouldn't be l'kitas or ka'achas. For some reason, this came ripe and this didn't become ripe. Maybe it was something unusual, or maybe there was fertilizer put in one area, or maybe the rain, you know, this has more sun, and this has more, whatever the reason is, it's in the world of peah, but you would give separate peahs from each one. Okay, now let's continue now with the next Mishnah, Halacha Hei. Says the Mishnah. I have trees in my field. let's say apple trees, and let's say that's chayv and peah. I sold you my apple trees, but I did not sell you my field. Only the apple trees. The assumption is that you're going to take the apple trees, you're going to rip them out of the ground, and take them to your field and plant them in your field. But before you do that, you're going to harvest the apple trees. You don't want to take the whole apple tree when the apples are still on there. So you're going to harvest the apples, take the apples off, and then take it. So who's chayv and peah? I own the land, but now you own the trees. When you, the buyer, you're harvesting these apples. So you're a peah, but it's my land. So we're going to see it's the buyer. It's the buyer's apples. So the buyer's going to have to give peah from these trees. But how many peahs? It's all in one field. If it's all in one field, so then maybe it's one big peah. And the answer is going to be no. No, sin peah mikol echad ve'echad. You give peah from each and every tree. Why? Because the trees are not connected to each other. Right? The field in between is owned by the mocher, and the trees are owned by the buyer. And therefore, different bylaws. What did we learn from the Mikdash David yesterday? The Mikdash David told us based on even within one tree. Within one tree you can give separate peahs. If somebody owns the north side, and somebody owns the south side of the tree. So here, somebody owns all the trees. Somebody else owns the field. So then you give peah mikol echad ve'echad from each and every tree. And we don't even have to look in the Mikdash David for that. Well, we can look in a Rishon. The Tosas Arash in Chulin on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches says this exact point. This discussion, this mission is quoted there in Chulin on Kuf Lamed Ches, all the way at the end of the Masechta. Right, the Masechta kens Kuf Mem Beis. Kuf Mem Beis. In Chulin, so four blocks from the end, Kuf Lamed Ches, our mission is quoted there. Says the, I'll read you the Tosas Arash. Hamocher kel cheilam batoch sadeo. Again, I sold trees that I have to give peah from each one. The afal gav, says the Tosas Arash. Denachal v'shlulis v'derach harabim einam afsikin le'ilon kedisa perak beis peah. He was familiar with all the Mishnayos. So we know this because we're in the middle of peah. We learned at the beginning of the second parak that even rivers and aqueducts, they're all mafsik in a tua field, but for trees, only a fence. Only a fence is mafsik for trees. So, says the Tosas Arash, where's the fence here? There's no fence, right? It's one field. I sold you all the trees. I keep the field. I keep the land. So there's no fence here. Shiny hacha, says the Tosas Arash, a mafsik chiyif peah shel acher bein tayim. Somebody else owns it. Somebody else owns what's in between. That's enough of a hefsik. Kain Nire Li. So too says the Tosas Arash. That's what I think is the pshat of this Mishnah. It's exactly what the Mikdash David taught us yesterday in Samach Beis Aleph. So says the Mishnah. So if I sold you these trees, where does the word Kelach come from? So different pshatim in the Mefarshim, the Marafolda here says Kelach means Lashon Kelach Nofel Al Geza Veshorish, like a stump. A stump with roots. Kemo darina lakaman, like we're going to have later on. That's a kelach. Veim chushim. Hachanami hirba ilonos yotzi migeza echad. So that's a kelach according to the Mara Folda. If you look in the Pnei Moshe, maybe it means sharshe hatzmachim, maybe other types of growths. Either way, that is the halacha. So I sold you the trees, so you have to take the peah from each one. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Amasai. Rabbi Yehuda tells us Amasai. The Gemara says in a number of places, Chazal tell us, whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Amasai, he's Lafarish. Right? Amasai is, Rabbi Yehuda's not explaining here. Right? Also, how else do you know that? You know that from the says Amar Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if it's Divrei Rebbe something and Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that's a machlokas. Right? We had that earlier, once in this, I think in this Pesachta. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amasai, when do we say that, right, somebody also says that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain. One of them refers to him on the page. I don't remember. So Rabbi Yehuda, Amasai, Bezman Shloshir Balasada. When do we say that the buyer has to give peah from all his trees separately if the seller didn't keep any tree for himself? He sold all of the trees. Avalim Shir Balasada. But if he kept one tree, even one tree, that tree is the peah. Who knows him peah lakol? Even if it's one tree, then Rabbi Yehuda says, explaining the Tanakama, then the peah is on the responsibility of the seller. That is the Mishnah. If you look in the Rambam, it's all interesting, pointed out by the Shari Yerushalayim and others, the Rambam has a shita, which we're not sure exactly where he got it from. The Rambam says in Hilchos Manasaniyim, Hamocher mekom peregimah halacha yuches. Hamocher mekom was mekom was bisadeu. If somebody sells different spots in their field, la'anoshim harbe, to a lot of different buyers. So then, if he sold the whole field, so if I sell the field to 10 different people, so everybody has their own property, their own fields, they take payah from their section. So what do you mean to a lot of different people? Right? What if you sold it to, some say, what if you sold it to one person? What if you sold it to one person? So achronim are medayik. Maybe if you sold, let's say, if you sold all the trees to one person, then it'll be one payah for all of it. Not just, no, pay us for each and every one. Why does Rambam Dafa say, La'anoshim harbe, to teach us separate areas? But some, if you look in the Sha'arei Yerushalayim, on this Rambam, he discusses, maybe the Rambam, you can be medayik from the Rambam, that if you sold it to one person, all the trees, then it would be one payah for all. Even though the seller's bailus is in between. Okay, we can look at that Rambam. But anyway, so the Mishnah says, if the Baal Asada kept anything for himself, he has to give the payah. Says the Gemara, Ad kedun kishehis chalichsar. I might have thought, when do you say that? When do you say that if the seller kept something for himself, then he has to give the payah? I might have thought to say that only applies if he started harvesting. If he took off an apple. If he took off an apple and he kept some for himself, then, right, because when does the chiyuv payah kick in, as we've said? When you start harvesting. When you start harvesting, that's when the chiyuv payah kicks in. So I might have thought that the whole mishnah is only when he started harvesting. But v'afilo lo hizchiliksar, shall we say, even if he didn't start harvesting, and the Gemara is going to say yes, even if he didn't start harvesting, as we will see, still, meaning I sold you all the apple trees, I didn't take off any apples, I'm still going to have the chiyuv, as the Gemara is going to say. This maskana of the Yerushalmi is going to be against the Bavli. The Bavli in Chulin Kuf Lamed Ches ends up saying only if hizchiliksar. Only if he started harvesting. And that's how the Rambam paskins. Because the Rambam, if you have a Yerushalmi, the Rambam paskins like Yerushalmi. But if you have a Bavli against the Yerushalmi, the Pashas, you paskin the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. So, says, as we spoke about in the Akdama, that as the Rambam gives that more influence. So, but the Yerushalmi says, I feel his chalitzar. Even if the seller has not started harvesting the apples, even then, we're gonna make the seller give the payah from the tree that he had left? How do you know that? Nishmina minada. You know it from the following Mishnah. Lokach geiz sono shel chaveira. We know there's a Mishnah, there's a mitzvah called Reishis Hageiz. The first shearings of wool go to the Kohen. Mitzvah daraisa, which hopefully we'll talk about a little bit. Mitzvah daraisa. So, lokach geiz sono shel chaveira. What happens if I buy the wool from you? Right? It's your sheep. I buy the wool from you. So who has to give the Reishis Hageiz? If the seller kept some wool, then the mocher is going to be chayev to give the reishis hageis. But if he sold everything, then lokeach is chayev. Kind of sounds similar to our Mishnah. Right, our Mishnah. If he sold everything, then the buyer has to give the payah. But if he kept something, then the seller has to give the payah from what's left. Same thing over there. If he sold all the wool, then the buyer has to give the reishis hageiz. If he kept some, then the seller. And the Gemara there asks, in Chulin, and here too, who is that Mishnah like? Rabbi Yirmiyah, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, d'Rabbi Yehuda hi. That Mishnah is following the Shita of our Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? What does Rabbi Yehuda say? That if the seller kept some, so then the seller's gonna have to do it. But now let's think about it. So the Gemara compares the two. Peah and Reishis Hageiz. So the Gemara says, Shan Yehi Tamon, Bein Shehidcha Lizos, Bein Shelohidcha Lizos. Is there any difference over there by Reishis Hageiz, whether the seller started to shear the sheep? It makes no difference. Cause when's the mitzvah of Reishis Hageiz? After you finish shearing. After you finish, now you have all this wool, so now you have a mitzvah to give it. So there's obviously no difference, Lamaisa, over there, if you started shearing, you didn't start shearing. Either way, it's not going to make a difference. And the Gemara compares it, so too, the Cholo Shanya, so too, there's not going to be a difference, Bein Shehizchiliksar, Bein Shaloh Hizchiliksar, period. Whether the seller started harvesting or not. So again, what did we just say? Our Mishnah tells us, based on Rabbi Yehuda, that if a seller sells all of his trees, then the buyer has to give payah from those trees. If the seller kept any, so then it's the seller's responsibility. He has to give payah from the one tree that he has left. Even if he didn't start harvesting any apples yet. He didn't take any apples off of the tree yet, still, that's what the Gemara's Maskana here is, against the Bavli, but he has a chiyuv to give the peah. And the question is why? Right? Why does he have a chiyuv to give the peah? My time at Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? The Gemara has two possibilities. Again, if I kept a little bit, why do I have to give the peah? I sold you. You have 95% of the fruit, and especially let's think, and you're the one that's starting, you're harvesting your fruit. So two possibilities. Mishum de chovas katsir bakama. Is it because the chova of the katsir is bakama? So that doesn't mean literally in our case. What has that meant up until now? The chiyuv peah is by what's still standing. That's what it literally means. But here what this phrase means is the chiyuv peah is by what's left. By what's left. So usually that's still standing. But let's say in this case, I sold 95% of my field, the 5% of what's left. Right? That's where the chiyuv peah is. It's whatever's left at the end of the harvesting or even after the end of the selling. Right? So is that the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? There's a formal din of whatever's left, that's where the chiyuv peah comes from. And that's, let's say, within the world of peah. You'll see what I mean in a second. Oh, mishum, or is there a totally different reason? Well, if I sell you 95% of my trees, the 5% that I still have is going to be the chiyuv peah. Why? Mishum tavi kamocher lo chutz mechovaso. Because it's basically an understanding that I'm not selling you fruit that you're going to have to give peah from. If I'm keeping some, then the understanding in our monetary agreement is that I'm going to give the peah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, in the other Mefarshim, this second sod has nothing to do with peah. It just has to do with mekach u'memkar, business. See what he says? V'lav midine peah, son Allah, ele midine mekach u'memkar, bo'la dona peah shal almi. So that's the tutsadim. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the seller, if the seller kept anything, he has to give the peah? Is that for a peah issue? Because peah always goes by what's left, and here's what's left, what the seller has. Or no, it's a monetary law issue. It's dine mamonis issue. And therefore, this is their agreement, and they have to hold by it, the seller has to give the, peah. Peah, interestingly, if you think about it, I don't know if we mentioned this. Peah straddles two different areas. I think we did all the way at the beginning of the sechla. Two different areas of halacha. There are a number of areas of halacha. Some areas of halacha are purely, lending money. That's monetary law. That's monetary law. It's also a nice thing to do. But let's say Hilchas Nida. Hilchas Nida is both Tumah V'Tahara and Isser V'Heter. It's two worlds. Hilchas Ribis. Ribis, interest, that's monetary law, but it's also Issa V'Heter. Right? So there are a number of, Ilchus Ksuba. Ksuba is Eben Ezer and Choshe Mishpat. Right? Because that's to do with marriage, Eben Ezer, and that's to do with Choshe Mishpat. So, Peah as well. It's both Mominus and Yoredeya. It's Isser V'Heter. It's Usser if I cut it all. I'm not allowed to do that. It's a lav, but also obviously it's monetary law. So here the suffix of the Gemara seems to be, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that if the seller kept anything from the tree, he has to give? Is that a peah issue or is that a separate dini mamonis issue? So the Gemara says, let's try to prove it from the same Mishnah that we're talking about. Nishmina min ada. Son chaveiro, say Mishnah, if I buy the shearings of my friend, im shir amocher amocher chayev. If the seller kept any of the wool, then the seller is chayev to give the gracious hageiz. V'im lav alokei chayev. And if not, the buyer. If the seller sold all of the wool, then the buyer has to give the gracious hageiz. V'yam Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Yochanan de Bihudahi. And as we said, Rabbi Yochanan said that Mishnah in Chulin is parallel to our Mishnah b'shem Rabbi Yehuda in Peah. So the Gemara says, "Is lechalameimar taman shachovas katsir bekama? Can you really say over there by chulin by reishis hageis? Can you say the first sod of the suffix? Can you say that? Well, the mitzvah is in what's left. No, that's not true. It's exactly the opposite of that. The mitzvah is in what you just cut. By reishis hageis, the mitzvah is you cut wool. Now you have a mitzvah with that wool. Nothing to do with what's left. So if you're paralleling the two mishnayos." It can't be, and we're trying to figure out what the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is, it can't be this first sod, because this first sod makes no sense regarding the Mishnah in Chulin. It's exactly the opposite. So, lo mishum, it must be because, the machru lo chutz mechavaso. It must be that when I sell you something, that there's still an obligation on this field, If I kept anything for myself, I'm paying that obligation. If I sold you a field, and I kept some, I'm giving the peya. If I sold you the wool, I'm giving the reishas hageis. It must be a monetary agreement that we understand. V'ko b'machro chutz mechavaso. Just like over there, it must be because he sold it except for the reishas. So to here, he sold it except for the reishas. Reishas hageis itself is a mitzvah daraisa. It's quoted in the end of the Torah, Parsha Shoftim. The Chinuch has it in mitzvah tough. Kuf Ches. Shinitz Tavinu Lasis Rashis Gizas Hatzon LaKohanim. The first shearings we give to the Kohanim. It's not Kadosh at all. It's totally Chulin. Right? If a Kohen wants to take it and give it back to the Yisrael, they give it back to the Yisrael. The Kohen can do whatever he wants with that wool. He can make clothing out of it. Val Zenema Rashis Gizon Chatitin Lo. Right? What's the mitzvah? Inyan a mitzvah Shakol Shi Mishi Ishlo. You have to have a certain amount of sheep. A certain amount of wool. Each time you shear, then you have to give some to the Kohen. Ve'en l'matanazu shir yadu ben haTorah, just like Peah. There's no shir mida araisa for Reishas HaGeis. Chachamim come up with the shir. And this is all about, because we give the Kohanim food, right? And we give them, there's maybe places for them to live, but Adayin says the Chinuch chaser lehem malbush. So zicha lahem, Reishas HaGeis l'malbushehen. The Torah gives them for their malbush. There are many wonderful discussions that the Minchas Chinuch has here about Reishas Hageis. Right? It's chulun v'chol davar. It's chulun. It's not kadosh. Says the Minchas Chinuch. You could give it to a female, Eishas Kohen. Right? There's no reason to give it to a Kohen. It doesn't have kedusha. L'fichach ani omer shenosim l'kohenes. Av shenisu al Yisrael. Come on, manas behema. He says even a bas Kohen who's married to a Yisrael, you could give it to. V'yir alisha din shneim echadu. Oh, that's a quote from the Rambam. And he quotes, v'tzorachin al machaber. Why doesn't the Chinuch talk about this? And he talks about many other details. In Reishas Hageis, what happens if I dyed the wool? Right, that's a discussion in Baba Kama. Do we say Shinui Kona and then you don't have to give the Reishas Hageis? So there's different discussions in this mitzvah. And by the way, it's a mitzvah that's not Gizman Hazeh. Right, it just so happens, we might not know so many Jews that own sheep. This is not a Beis Hamikdash halacha. Nothing to do with Karbanos. V'noheges mitzvah zub v'zachar v'nekevas v'Yisrael v'Yisraelim bei b'fnei abayis, bei shalom b'fnei abayis. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Right, only in Eretz Yisrael. Which is not, right, another one of those mitzvahs that have nothing to do with the dirt. It's not a mitzvah tzliya ba'aretz, but it's only in Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's the Gemara that says, Noah Galma Kitlasa Save. Right, the Gemara says in Brachas and elsewhere that the Minhag HaOlam is like the three elders. Right, like Rabbi Yoshia that says, Ein Divrei Torah Mekablin Tuma. That's what it's doing in Brachas. There's no more Tefillas Ezra. And here, Reishas Hageis is only in Eretz Yisrael. Right, and another halacha of Kilayim. But that is a little bit about Reishas Hageis. And we continue. Says the Gemara. My nafag mi b'neyon. Is there a nafgamina between these two reasons of Rabbi Yehuda? Right? Rabbi Yehuda says again, what are the two suggestions for Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, if I sell the field and I keep a little for myself, then I have to give the payah from that little bit I kept for myself. And why is that? Is that because payah always goes by what's left? What's left standing in the field or what's left in my possession after I sold it? Is that the reason? Or is it because of a monetary understanding that if I sold you something and there's an obligation within one of our fields, then obviously you don't want to buy the field in order to give payah to the aniyim, right? So it must be that I kept that obligation, right? So l'may nafkamina. So the Gemara gives two. Number one, avar halokeh v'hifrish. What if the buyer, maybe he didn't know exactly what he was doing, but he went and he was mafrish anyway, right? He took off payah even though he wasn't supposed to. The buyer was a little, not focusing. So, is he gonna get reimbursed for that? For the payah that he took when he didn't have to? It was the seller that had to give the payah. But here the buyer gave the payah. So, Avra lokeach v'hifrish. So, in Tamar Mishum Chovas HaKatzir Bekama, hifrish. If you say, well, because it's a payah issue. The payah issue is that you're supposed to give payah from what's left. But if you didn't, what did we learn earlier in the Masechta? I'm supposed to give payah on the end of the field. If I gave in the middle of the field, it's also payah. It's okay. So here too, you were supposed to give it, you could have given it in what was left, you didn't, it's still payah. So thank you very much, the seller will say, but, you didn't have to do that. But if it was just a monetary understanding, so then the seller would have to pay the buyer for what he did. Hifrish v'notim eno damim. Right? There was a monetary agreement between them that you, the seller, you're going to have to take care of the payos. If I did you a favor, then you're going to have to pay me back for it. You're going to have to pay me back for it. I fulfilled your chiyuv, but you have to pay me back for it. Or similar, nisraf chelko shel mocher. The mocher is supposed to give his payah from the one tree he has left. Guess what? That tree died. That tree was burned. So now there's no more tree to the seller. So at the moment that the seller sold, then he had one left. But now there's no more left. So now does it revert back? Now does it revert back? Or the buyer's going to give. Does he get reimbursed? So, in Tamer Mishum Dechovas Katsir Bekama Nisraf Nisraf. We'll go with the Mara Foldas Pshat with the Gemara. If you say, like, the payer reason, so what was burned, and that's it. That's it. There was, the buyer is going to have to give payah, and then he does not get reimbursed. But if it's because of the separate monetary agreement that they had, then Nisraf Notam Eno Damim, then he would be able to get reimbursed. We're going to go with that pshat, even though the Achronim find it difficult to understand why that should be. Because if you remember, we had cases before. Let's say I harvested my field, half my field, and I'm planning to give payah from the other half. And then the other half gets destroyed. There's no payah. It's done. Right? I was supposed to give that. It was just, it disappears. I was supposed to give it. So here, I'm supposed to give the payah and my one tree that's left, and then it disappeared. Right? It was burned. So what does it say? The buyer has to give the payah instead, and then I have to pay him back, or maybe not. Why? So that's what Tzarachi and the later Achronim try to figure out, what the Ma'ara Folda does with that issue. But again, that is the smooth way of reading the Gemara, the two Nafgaminas, and the different ways of understanding Reb Yehuda. Okay, Hashem, next time we get into a couple of Shas topics come up on tomorrow's daf. We've had a couple of days of like pure Peah issues, and tomorrow we're going to get into another Mishnah, which brings up a lot of different Shas and Yanim, Be'ez Hashem, but we have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. So every day, Baruch Hashem, is another world in the world of Peah. Okay, we'll stop here.